Welcome to the UK Investor Magazine podcast, the latest on shares, markets and investments, now available on your Amazon Alexa.
Hello and welcome to the UK Investor Magazine podcast, now also available on the UK Investor Magazine mobile app. For today's podcast, we're going to be taking a deep dive into Indian equities, in particular growth Indian equities. And to do that, we're very kindly joined by the co-head of equities at Ocean Dial Asset Management, Gaurav Narain. Gaurav, thank you very much for being with us today.
Thank you, Jonathan.
So, Gaurav, we're going to be speaking in particular about the India Capital Growth Fund. It's an investment trust managed by Ocean Dial. We're going to be looking as well at the wider economic picture in India and why you feel it's a good opportunity at the moment. But before we get into it, Gaurav, please, would you be able to give us a brief introduction to yourself as well as the trust, please?
Yeah, so I'm based out of Mumbai in India, and I've been managing equities for the last 30 odd years. I've been a very bottom-up stock picker. Started my career on the sell side. So really that's what got me into the research, equity research side. So I've been managing in the India Capital Growth Fund for almost 11 years now. And this is a fund which is focused on the mid and small cap companies in India. And how we really invest is we really go deep into companies, being on the ground. We spend a lot of our time traveling and meeting businesses. But what we really do is we buy businesses with a 3 to 5 year holding horizon. We look at businesses which we find are predictable, have high quality management, and of course the nature of the business is good. So very cash flow focused, very return on capital employed focus. And we've really built a portfolio of what we'd call long-term compounders.
Looking at the performance before we started recording, Gaurav, this investment trust, the India Capital Growth Fund, has had a tremendous run over the last 3 years. Looking here, it's up in the region of 230% over this period. What do you feel have been the biggest drivers behind this performance?
Yeah, I think one should also take into fact that, you know, 3 years also is a period where your base had the COVID impact, and that was a period when markets across the world fell. So really 230% from that base in some sense feels a bit exaggerated. But having said that, I would say the fund has done well, and it's largely driven by a good performance by the portfolio companies. Most have delivered on earnings in spite of COVID, in spite of inflation, and more importantly, the outlook looks equally promising. So what we've really seen is valuations catch up to earnings, and that's really what's driving the performance. As I mentioned earlier, you know, when we buy businesses, we really look at what we'd call predictable, consistent compounders and high quality management with a very strong business profile itself. So really over time, as long as companies deliver on the earnings growth, I think that's half our problem solved. And over time, the performance really itself leads to your earnings, leads to the performance of the portfolio.
So we'll discuss some of those portfolio holdings a little bit later on in the podcast, but we'll stay with the bigger picture, if we may, Gaurav, at the moment, and look at India. For you, what are the top three reasons for being so bullish on India at the moment?
I would say, you know, the core is that the foundation of the economy is very strong now. And the reason for that is that India really went through a lot of tough times in the form of reforms which were implemented during 2014 to 2019. That led to a lot of uncertainty and disruption to the business models of companies. But what it's come out is from this is that today we're in a situation where the banking system is clean. It has the lowest non-performing assets in the last decade or so. The corporate sector has low level of leverage. The regulatory environment is a lot more transparent and very conducive to business. And also, India has built a very strong digital infrastructure, which has really improved efficiencies across the system. So I would say that's one leg which has really been built over the last 4 or 5 years. What's happening now is that the entire focus of the government is on pushing growth. And for the last 2 years, they've taken the mantle and aggressively pushed on infrastructure investments. In fact, the pipeline is over $1.5 trillion. And this infrastructure has taken place in roads, railways, build out, etc. And now we are also seeing the private sector starting to participate in this CapEx build out as utilizations have gone up. And so we are seeing both infrastructure taking off, the private sector CapEx taking off, and that's really driving a lot of growth momentum. Having said that, I think India is also now fairly favorably positioned because the geopolitics is actually playing into India's hands. I think this whole, China de-risking and supply chain de-risking, which is being talked about, for India, it's really in an environment where you've already created so many changes. India suddenly become a very attractive manufacturing destination, and we're really seeing that happen. It's also a fact that, for India, the demographics are also very favorable because we have the largest population in the world today and a very young population. So I would say it's a confluence of a lot of things falling into place, which makes us really believe that the story going forward is very structural in nature. It's not a 1 or 2 year phenomena, but we're actually seeing a decade of reasonable 6 to 7% GDP growth.
This is a fascinating point that I want to explore next, Gaurav. And it's looking at the relationship with China and obviously what's happening there and how India is benefiting from the move away from China. It's not only India, of course, there's other countries within the region which are benefiting. So it would be interesting to hear, first of all, how India is benefiting from the notion that the businesses and investment is spanning out across the region, and also to get an idea of the scale of this benefits.
Sure. I'll tell you what's really happened is one is, India today is very cost competitive. Its labor cost is 1/3 of China. The tax structure is amongst the lowest in the world. And as I mentioned earlier, the infrastructure is also improved. To top it all, the government 2 years back started announcing a lot of incentive schemes called the production linked incentives to really attract manufacturing into India. And that we are actually seeing playing out, especially with, this China de-risking happening. And it's happening in two forms, I would say. The first is in the form of companies actually shifting manufacturing directly into India. For example, if you take, and this a lot of this has happened in areas like electronic manufacturing, chemicals, etc. For example, if you take someone like an Apple, about 3 to 4 years back, they had no presence in India. Today, in the last 3 years, all their suppliers have set up plants in India, right from Windstorm, Pegastorm, Foxconn. And they are exporting almost $1 billion worth of iPhones every month. Apple's own target is that 25% of the global iPhone manufacturing will be shifting to India. So that's the scale of transformation you're seeing on one end. And we've seen that with a lot of other consumer electronic companies also already shifting manufacturing into India. We're seeing that also in, say, sectors like chemicals, where a number of European and US companies have, Indian companies have set up exclusive facilities to export to them, which are, you've got 5 to 10 year sort of contracts specifically for that. I think the second area, not just manufacturing, is where actually Indian companies are gaining a lot on shifting demand. And this is, you can see it across sectors where they are winning business from Chinese competitors. And for example, take even a thing like a transmission towers. You know, we in our portfolio company itself, we see one which has won tenders from Australia, from the US, from Europe. These are markets this company never serviced. The same you can see in diverse areas like textiles. A lot of business coming in from US, which was typically sourced from China. Another diverse area like, say, floor tiles, where again, from zero exports to the US today, the largest market for ceramic tile exports out of India is the US. So it's really a lot of companies are de-risking supply chains, and you know, India's getting a fairly large share of this business. And what one should really realize is that China is a Goliath. You know, in every sector, their size would be almost 10x that of India. So even if a small shift happens, it means, you know, business for Indian companies is almost doubling. So you really don't need mega shifts. A small percentage shift itself is phenomenal for a lot of companies in the Indian market. And that's actually adding to a lot of incremental growth.
Thank you. So now let's drill down into the trust a little bit deeper, please, Gaurav. And look at, you've obviously outlined the macro picture there, the trends which are driving business and returns in India. So now it will be good to get an idea of how you're capturing this. So, you know, if you may, could you outline some of your biggest holdings and how they're playing into the trends that you've just outlined?
Okay. So, you know, there are multiple trends happening in India today. But I would say the core is that the domestic economy itself is doing extremely well, driven by investments and capex that is happening. And so I would say the largest exposure of our portfolio is to our financials. We own four banks, and they combine about 25% of our portfolio. Now, if you see the banking system, there's no asset quality problem, and credit is growing at over 15%. And this credit growth is actually being driven not just by the corporate sector, but by the small and medium enterprises, but as well as retail. So it's a very diversified growth that's happening. And, you know, we are playing this core India infrastructure and growth story from banks and also from our cement companies. On the other legs, you know, what we are also seeing is, say, one of our largest exposures is a company called Ramkrishna Forgings. It's an auto ancillary, but it's seeing, again, multiple growth levers from largely being a supplier of forging components to the commercial vehicles in India. Today, it's winning business from clients in Europe, from US, from LATAM. And a lot of it is really business moving out of China, coming to companies like him. Another leg for him actually is happening in India itself, where the railways is a big capex spender, and he's winning multiple contracts for supplying to coaches. So really multiple drivers for a company like him. Then we have, I would say, the largest. I mentioned Apple shifting supplies to India. But a lot like Samsung, Motorola, Philips are also doing something very similar. And today we have a company called Dixon, which is the largest such electronic manufacturer in India. So we call it the Foxconn of India. And it's really seeing its you know, revenues grow at almost 50% per annum. It's winning, you know, the number of one is running. It's difficult to catch up with the sort of number of deals it's winning virtually every 2-3 months from new global clients. So that's the sort of plays we are finding. We also own the largest tile manufacturer in India. And as I mentioned, that there's a big export of tiles which is happening. Now, this company is actually is purely playing the domestic market. But what it's done is, because the demand from exports is so much, He's getting a lot of pricing power, or rather the competitive environment in India is easing because a lot of capacity is being diverted to exports. So we are seeing multiple themes playing out, and across our portfolio, every company seems to be having not just one, but two, three legs of growth playing out.
So I'd like to stay on the trust, if you may, Gaurav, and look at something that I think is particularly interesting. Just looking at the discount of the trust is around 6%, which is much better than a lot of the peers out there in the space. Of course, investment trusts that are focused on India. Could you speak to why you think that may be?
Well, I think it's multiple reasons. And I would say one is, of course, performance. The fund trust has done very well, and that's also getting reflected in investor interest. But over time and over years, we've spent a lot of time also in marketing the trust with a lot of retail investors. So I've been traveling a lot, and it's across the US, UK markets. We are going to, you know, we start from Edinburgh and make our way down. So it's really efforts both at, marketing to a different set of investors, doing a lot of webinars, doing a lot of conferences. So we are better known in the market, and also the performance is also delivering. So I would say it's multiple factors at play. And my sense is if we continue to perform, and the fact that India is, as a country, is very well positioned to grow for several years, I would feel the discount should actually narrow further.
Thank you very much. So you mentioned there about the performance of the fund, and that brings us on to the next point. Now this is going to be a very difficult question to answer with any certainty, because we don't know what's on the horizon. However, from where you're sitting, Gaurav, and you're looking at what's happening in India, and looking at what you've got in the trust, you know, anybody that's looking to get involved in this at this point here, I mean, what would your idea of returns be going forward over the next 3 to 5 years? What would you like to see?
Well, it's very difficult to predict, but let me give you a sense of the past. I've been managing this trust since 2011, and over this period, the trust NAV has compounded at about between 13 to 14% per annum in sterling terms. So that's one idea of the sort of returns you can expect based on just past performance. Having said that, if you look at the Indian stock market itself, and if you take the index, the BSE Sensex, which is the top 30 stocks, that has also delivered returns of somewhere around over a decade of about 11%. And if you take a 20-year period, the returns have been about 15% compounded over this 20-year period in sterling terms. And that's largely, again, driven that the market has grown simply because the earnings have grown. Now, looking forward, you know, how we build the business is that we try and have a portfolio of companies where the aggregate earnings of our portfolio has typically been anywhere between 15 to 18%. And we try and buy businesses where there's a high degree of predictability in earnings. And as I mentioned earlier, that we typically always buy businesses with the intent of holding it for at least 3 to 5 years. So, you know, you're looking at businesses which keep compounding over time. We have several stocks in our portfolio, which, you know, I would say almost 60% of our portfolio we've held for over 5 years. Now, so the whole idea is that if our portfolio is able to deliver this 15 to 18% earnings, all things being normal, that's the sort of growth you should see in the NAV as well. Assume a bit of currency dilution, but you're still looking at, you know, just the earnings itself driving your NAV returns. So we've done that in the past, and the intent is also the same, that, you know, buy predictable earnings stories and the earnings compounding itself should give you a return. And having said that, as I said earlier, that, you know, I've never been as positive on the outlook for the Indian economy. And I am actually quite confident that India should see a period of sustained growth much better than what we've seen in the past.
Fantastic. So we spoke about the upside scenario, Gaurav. So now let's add some balance. Of course, we've spoken about, you know, the trends that are providing the benefits to the Indian economy, and of course the holdings within your portfolio. But it'd be good now to get, you know, the other side now and look at what some of the risks are, and provide some balance to what we spoke about. So, you know, in terms of, you know, the Indian economy, where do you see the main risks, and how could you see this being upset going forward? And secondly, how are you going about managing these risks? How are you hedging these risks within the portfolio?
You know, as I mentioned earlier, today the whole story about India is about growth. And the risk really also arises that what if this growth falters? And I'm fairly certain that on the domestic side, things are very much in place because, you know, a lot of work has happened and the story just started to play out. I think where the risk happens is that our worries are more on the global side, especially if you're talking about a recession in Europe or in the US. That really, you know, the growth has multiple legs. Yes, domestic does do well, but if your exports start declining, it does hit growth to some extent. So my worry would really be that if the global economy is faltering, it will also hurt the Indian growth story. Having said that, India is more a domestic market. We are less than, you know, 2% of the global trade. So it's less affected, but we've already seen that, you know, if you go back 6 months back, you know, the GDP forecast for India were anywhere between 7.2%. It's down to about 6%. And all the downgrade in growth is simply because you're building a slower global economy rather than the domestic economy. So I'd really, for me, the most, you know, what I'm really seeing is what can puncture this growth. And that to me is the biggest risk.
Thank you. So to finish off now, I'd like to ask you, now you may not be able to answer this, but it would be good to get your insight on it, Gaurav. So, you know, when you're looking at the portfolio, do you have a particular favourite holding in there which you've maybe picked up within the last 12 months or maybe a longer term holding that you're particularly excited about?
Well, our portfolio turnover is very low, actually. You know, our portfolio turnover is just about 12 to 13%. But yes, we keep looking for new ideas. And as I said, but the job of me and my team is just to find one good idea in a month and we are done. So I'll really talk about my newest position. It's a company called VIP Industries. It's actually the largest luggage manufacturer in India. It's got multiple brands. The top end is Carlton, which you'd be familiar with. It was a UK brand which the company bought. So it's got 4 or 5 brands straddling the price segment. It has a 47% market share in the luggage market in India. And it's in terms of volumes, I think it's the second largest luggage manufacturer in the world. But what's happening is the business is booming because in India, domestic travel has just gone through the roof. In fact, in the domestic air travel has hit all-time highs. Tourism is on a different level. The Indian government has, in the last 4 or 5 years, opened 75 new airports across smaller towns. So tourism is booming. And this is a company which we actually see should be compounding revenues at almost 20% per annum over the next 4 to 5 years. Its operating leverage is playing out. Its margins are rising. So really, it's a company where we actually see almost a 25% earnings growth for the next few years. and it's largely driven on the back of domestic tourism. And as I mentioned, you know, we've had so many reforms, and these reforms have really gone into trying to build tourism across the country, and largely through infrastructure developments which are happening in airports, in the hills, where you're seeing a lot of new roads, tunnels, highways being built. So I think it's a company where, again, where I'm really looking at holding it for almost 5 years, at least when I've bought it. And a strong earnings growth story, a very strong brand, and it has big strengths, but it's got one of the largest distribution network in the country, and now they're spreading it to tier 3-4 towns and even rural areas. So that's the sort of company I would say is what I've just added, and where I'm very positive about on the outlook.
Thank you very much, Gaurav. That's been fascinating. So just a note to listeners, do check out the notes to this podcast, because there'll be a link through to the India Capital Growth Fund website. We'll be able to find some more information, get the fact sheets, have a deeper look at some of those portfolio holdings that Gaurav's kindly outlined. So Gaurav, thank you very much for being with us today.
Thank you, Jonathan.
And thank you very much to everyone for listening. Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the UK Investor Magazine podcast. Please do share the podcast, and we really value any reviews and comments you leave us in your chosen podcast player. The views presented by the hosts and guests of the UK Investor Magazine podcast are in no way investment advice, and please remember, all investment involves risk.